We're so glad that you've tuned in for this edition of Power Walk, as Pastor Paul Cannings brings us the final message in his series titled, An Airtight Relationship with God. Maybe you're very intimate with Him, or maybe you've strayed far and you don't know how to get back. Maybe the challenges of life have left you discouraged, or your hope in people has left you disillusioned. Whatever the case, I trust you'll be encouraged today, as Pastor Paul Cannings brings us this message titled, God, Our Restorer. Let's listen.
One of the things I love about my Lord is the fact that He's a restorer. You know, I've been in ministry a long time, full-time ministry over 30 years, and the way our family works, parents, we've been involved in ministry since I was 12 years old. I've seen so much. I've seen broken people. Some days, the thing that keeps me going is that the Lord is a restorer. You could look at any person in the Bible. You could go to the worst scenario with David, with Bathsheba, and all that happened. God is a restorer. You go to Paul, and all of the things he did is the one unusually born, and you'll find God to be a restorer. God is just a restorer. It doesn't matter how broken a person comes. It doesn't matter what their past was like. It doesn't matter the pain they've been through. It matters most that when they come to God, they come with a sincere heart and they're willing for God to restore them, not just because He made them a brand new creation, but it functionally takes a pattern in their life to where God continues to work with their mind, continues to build into their soul, continues to build into their life so that they come to a point where they can help someone else. Israel, as we complete this study today in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9 through verse 12, we got all the way to half of verse 11, and we will complete this today. We find a nation that is recovering. The first part of Isaiah is talking about God just punishing them for their unwillingness to surrender to Him, just going to church, doing church, not coming with a heart, not concerned about the broken and the hurting, not concerned about the people that work for them and oppressing them and squeezing them for every dime they can while they're fattening their pockets. He is so struggling with that, and He comes to them and He says, no, there's no more of this. And He allows them to go through a time where He holds them accountable for their behavior, and He brings them back. And when He brings them back, He holds them accountable as they fast before Him, as they cry out before Him, as we've looked at this week, and they're going to Him and it looks sincere, and He says, no, let's talk about that heart. You will know the heart of a person by the way they love. That's how God sees it. So a person is held accountable for not demonstrating the heart of God, because God is love. He's not executing love, demonstrating love, seeking to provide love. He is by His very nature love. So if a person is truly loving the Lord all their heart, their soul, and their mind, and they develop the very character of who Christ is, there is no way they don't come out loving someone else. So when we look at this process that God has given, it's not an issue of whether or not He's going to restore us. Folks, there's so many broken people in the scriptures. We could go on forever looking who's in the line of Christ. One of the persons was a prostitute. So you can't look at this and not see how God is finding the broken, the hurting. Peter denied Him, and He goes and reaches out to him. What does he go to? His heart. Peter, do you love me? He doesn't go to his mind. He goes to his heart. That's what God is after, because He says, when we believe that He is the Son of God, He's Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we believe that in our hearts, that's when He transforms us. Why? Because when He transforms our hearts, He transforms our character. So that when we hold to the Word of God then impacts the lifestyle that we live. That's the kind of thing that brings restoration to our hearts, our lives, our families, our marriages, our children, our communities, our church, our country, our city. And that's why we started where we are. Well, matter of fact, that's why Isaiah started where he did in Isaiah 58, as we've looked at it this week. And then he talks about this restoration that would take place. And this is awesome restoration. We dealt with yesterday the fact that He will guide us continually in verse 11. He'll influence our minds by bringing up the Word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, He will remind us of the Word of God. When we put time into the Word of God, a person who is committed to walk with God, God, surrender their minds to God, to follow God. That person is a person that sincerely loves God, and that person lives it out each and every day. When that person does that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide them, John 16:13, convict them of sin when they're wrong, renew their minds, illuminate the word of God so when they're reading it, it makes sense. The Bible says God will just continually keep guiding them each and every day as he watches over them. And that's the kind of continual guidance and satisfying. That's what he says is the next thing we looked at. He satisfies us like a person who's going through a drought. The throat is dry. They feel like their body is drying up, and they get a fresh drink of water and just freshens their body. Like the Samaritan woman, he says, listen, if you were to come to me, you will never thirst again. I understand you feel like your life has dried up. I understand that you've gone through so many situations with men. I get it. If you come to me and if you turn your life over to me, you will never thirst again. I will take to that dried up life and I will come to your soul and freshen it up. That's what he's saying in terms of restoration. So it's not just guiding us, it's restoring us from the inside out. He continues on and he says, I will make your bones fat. Whatever the locust has taken away, I will replenish that. I'll make your bones fat. And I'm going to so restore your soul that you want to eat again. You want to function again. You want to live your life with a sense of satisfaction again. So those bones that were drying up, I'll refresh them all over again. Now I am the one that is restoring you. That's how beautiful this is. It could be your bank account became like dry bones, and God is finding a way to restore it faster than you could ever see, because he didn't let the car break down. He didn't let the refrigerator break down. He didn't let the house have any problems. He didn't let you have any health issues. He maintained your insurance. He kept it going. He put you on a job with a good insurance. God finds a way to make our bones fat. And that's why he says, as a result, I'll water your garden. There's no more drought. This watering here, I believe, is a testimony to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament when he talks about watering. Many times he would use the water to talk about the Holy Spirit. So he's saying to us that when we are willing to let our hearts be surrendered to him, our minds renewed and become the anchor for when our hearts are in all kind of directions that we can hold to the word of God. He says when he sees that commitment to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he says that leads to him just constantly letting the Spirit of God growing up inside of us, maturing inside of us, become to the point where Paul says, I no longer live. It is Christ that lives in me. Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 18, I am now drunk with the Holy Spirit. I no longer walk in the flesh. I walk in the Spirit. When a person does that, guess what happens when we're being watered? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is an attitude. It doesn't matter what's going on now. Paul would say, I'll be anxious for nothing. Oh, Paul, you've got no money. I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Paul, we're going to beat you like beat the socks off of you. Sufferings of this present time don't compare to the glory to be revealed. Why? Because Paul had come to a point where he has an attitude because he knows that he's walking in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because now when he is weak, when he's busted and broken down and hurting, that's when the Spirit of God reminds him and moves in him and reminds him of the scriptures and calm his spirit with a peace that surpasses understanding. Give him strength to long suffer, love that can love even enemies. The Bible says that's when this fruit keeps coming out. And when the fruit keeps coming out, even when he's weak, oh yeah, he's strong. David would say, I'm like a tree planted by rivers of waters because I meditate on the word of God day and night, and I can now be strong and refreshed and productive in Psalm chapter 1. We can't fail when we do this biblically based. Once we get the word of God implemented into the life of what we're doing, there's no failure because the word never returns void. Remember Joshua chapter 1, what he says? So Joshua, just meditate on it day and night and you will have success. It's when I choose to keep walking with the Lord, no matter how difficult the situation is, no matter if there's lions around, no matter if there's darkness and pain, because the Lord is my shepherd, I end up not lacking nothing. Now the church can collect effectively restore families, communities, everything. Look at what he says in verse 12. And they shall build the all waste places, the churches that are struggling to make it, communities that are struggling to make it, around the churches. All these waste places shall rise up their foundations for many generations. That's why the Bible talks about a righteous person will bless many generations. And he says, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. I will let you receive the honor for being a repairer and a restorer for your family, for your church, for your community, and for the country. We are the salt and the light. The Bible is saying it's not what the world is doing. It's what the people of God decides to do when they are committed to him that makes a difference. Look at Daniel, a 16-year-old boy that turned the world upside down in Babylon. Cupbearer managing the kingdom of Xerxes went back and restored the nation and allowed people to be strong and protected again, not see their kids just taken to be concubines and their crop just being taken away and they're starved during the winter and their young boys taken away to be slaves. Don't have to see that. Nevermore, because he came with a heart for God and rebuilt the walls. Folks, it's not what we're going through. It's who we're going through life with that matters most. It's how we're willing to trust him. It's how we're willing to depend on him. And how that leads to such a restoration that brings him glory and brings us strength when we are weak. I pray that you would stay focused so that what God brings out of this is a prayer I'm praying constantly. God, let us come back stronger than we went in. And so, God, people see that we are better, wiser, stronger, more deeply committed to you. So, Lord, we find you even more powerful in our hearts and our souls. And people can feel that by the way we love and serve you. Let us give him that glory and experience that blessing. Stay focused. God bless you.
That's Pastor Paul Cannings. As the song "To God Be the Glory" says it, God can restore the vilest offender who truly believes. So no matter where you find yourself, it's time to return and allow the Holy Spirit to comfort and restore you. Now, if these terms are foreign to you, and you're not sure what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ looks like, then please give us a call at 281-260-7402, and let's talk about it. Again, that's 281-260-7402.
I praise God that this ministry has blessed many lives. With the notes that we've received, the calls that many people have provided, it encourages us to keep going. So pray, folks, that you would partnership with this ministry by encouraging other people to come and listen to us, by getting on our website, making purchases, by supporting our ministry. I pray that God would move on your heart to do just that. And I guarantee you it will go to the better use of God's kingdom resources to touch lives. That is our heart, because of what we felt God was calling us to is to touch lives. And I pray that you've been blessed by this ministry. Share the word, pass it on, and pray for us regularly. God bless.
You can also visit us online at powerwalkministries.org to obtain this message or also browse through our other ministry resources. Once again, that's powerwalkministries.org. And now remember, God is by nature love. And as we love him, he also enables us to love others and restore our broken relationships.